This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, December 18th. Brought to you by Rabble AgriFinance. Good morning. I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Hit by water cuts, Westlands pivots to solar. Bozeman, administration needs to weigh in on aid, and food price increases tied to labor shortages. Low water supplies cost Westland jobs and billions in losses. Westland's water district says unreliable surface water supplies are costing the San Joaquin Valley thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in economic activity. That according to a new economic impact report that was released yesterday. The 2025 economic impact report prepared by economists Michael Shires and Matthew Gendon analyzes 2022 data and compares it with conditions in 2019 when Westland growers received 75% federal water allocation. By contrast, growers received 0% federal surface water in both 21 and 22, a shift the report describes as economically devastating. The analysis finds total economic activity tied to Westland's agriculture fell by about 25% from 2019 to 2022, a loss of roughly $1.2 billion. Nearly 7,500 jobs disappeared across Fresno and Kings counties, while crop production value declined 28% and secondary agriculture businesses lost about 20% of their economic output. The local government tax revenues dropped by $96 million, reducing funding for schools, infrastructure, and public safety. Beyond employment and revenue losses, the report links increased land fallowing to higher rates of valley fever and a greater risk of bird strikes at National Air Station Lynmoore, raising public health and national security concerns. The authors conclude that further groundwater pumping limits under SGMA could intensify economic losses unless surface water reliability improves. On that note, the district board of directors has approved a large-scale land repurposing strategy aimed at addressing chronic water shortages and SGMA-driven land fallowing across the west side of the valley. District officials said more than 215,000 acres, roughly 38% of the district's irrigable water farmland, were forced out of production this year due to unreliable water supplies and groundwater restrictions. The plan allows up to 136,000 acres of drainage-impaired or water-limited land to be repurposed for solar generation, battery storage, and transmission infrastructure, while concentrating limited water supplies on more productive acreage. At full build-out, the plan could support up to 21 gigawatts of renewable energy, create thousands of construction and long-term jobs while providing landowners with stable lease revenue. Implementation is supported by AB 2661, passed last year to authorize the district to develop and own clean energy facilities. Upper Colorado River negotiations to make pitch for post-2026 framework. Negotiators from states in the Upper Colorado River Basin say their states already take, quote, significant mandatory and uncompensated reductions to water allocations, and that post-2026 guidelines must be addressed structural overuse in the lower basin. In a press release, members of the Upper Colorado Commission say they're not willing to accept water use caps or mandatory reductions as the states negotiate over a new framework for managing the river's flows after 2026. New Mexico negotiator Estefan Lopez wrote in a statement that states in the upper basin were promised the ability to develop and use water from the Colorado River as a part of the 1922 Colorado River Compact. But he added that right now, unfortunately, it seems like the only real focus is how we can get more water into the lower basin. The lower basin needs to have a sustainable water supply, no doubt about it. But They also need to look at their needs and allow us to live with the water we have, Lopez said. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Senator Bozeman, senators will look to administration for cues on additional aid. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair John Bozeman of Arkansas says the administration will have to determine the dollar amount of any additional aid. The senator said the administration is working on that. Officials will first have to see how far the $11 billion for row crops and $1 billion for specialty crops announced last week goes, he said. We ought to have a better picture in the next few weeks, adding that he suspects the administration will determine more aid will be needed and Congress will have to act. Senator John Hovind of North Dakota also told AgriPulse he's not ready to talk about a firm number. Now, take note, House Ag Committee Chair Glenn Thompson told AgriPulse Tuesday he wants at least $10 billion in additional aid. Lawmakers have been eyeing adjusting USDA Section 32 authorities, which allows the department to divert tariff receipts to farmers. Thompson says that's proving to be, quote, a very challenging regulation to deal with. It would make total sense to be able to take access resources from those tariffs, he told AgriPulse. Whether we can make it work or not, we don't know yet. Food increases tied to labor shortages, a new report finds. Farm labor shortages are increasing the price of labor-intensive crops such as fruits and vegetables, according to a new report from Grow It Here, a farmer-led advocacy group. The U.S. fresh produce industry is approaching a pivotal moment, says the report prepared by Zach Rutledge, an agriculture policy professor at Michigan State. Without meaningful labor-focused policy reforms, labor-intensive agriculture production will likely continue to face growing labor costs, narrowing the diversity of American agriculture and increasing vulnerability to supply chain shocks. Specifically, Rutledge found that when domestic farm employment declines by 10%, labor-intensive food prices increase by an average of 2.94%. With those crops generating about $115 billion in farm gate value annually, a 10% drop translates to an estimated $3.4 billion in additional costs to consumers. On a call with reporters yesterday, New Jersey blueberry grower Brandon Razzo said he lost 2.5 million pounds of fruit last season, worth about $5 million because he did not have enough laborers. Here's today's final word. Behind every lost job or fallowed field is a family facing uncertainty, a small business struggling to stay open, or a community worried about its future. That's the word of Matthew Gendon, co-author of the Westlands Economic Impact Report. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, December 18th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chap Alley.